You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
people.
Where do you want to be?
Where you want to be?
What your life is.
What's with your life?
I'm running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hope to have family. Hope everything is well with you today on this Wednesday hump day so you can get over that hump. And I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it must, it has to be, it cannot delay, it cannot wait, be done, you'll do it. And you'll do it safely. You wear your mask, your N95 if you got one. You'll be as protected as you can be. You'll keep your distance and you'll keep them hands clean. So that's important in this age of COVID. And you know, a lot of things have been coming out on COVID. You know, a lot of things. So, and we'll deal with that. But for right now, make sure that you protect yourself. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But of course, if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. On the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed, Acres of Diamonds, from 6 to 8. And then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kambon and Nataki Kambon. That's followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, that's right, brothers and sisters, it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council from 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday, once again, it's time for an awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. And once again, when you go on WeBuyBlack.com, you know that they're seeking donations to create a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. We don't have a supermarket. It is a damn shame. You know, I've explained this a few times about Atlanta. The city of Atlanta itself is small. It's small in area and it's small in population. But Atlanta is positioned in within almost five counties. The majority of Atlanta is in Fulton County. The next, it is in the DeKalb County. Then Gwinnett, Cobb, and Clayton. Smallest probably is Clayton. But the city is around 400-some thousand people. But metropolitan area is 6 million. And out of that, I believe we hail that we do have a service station. One, I think it's in Clayton. I'm not sure. Because I remember seeing it online. I never seen it. I just seen it online. I never heard it broadcast or talked about. But everything around us here in Atlanta is not owned by us. It's pathetic. So check out WeBuyBlack.com and let's try to make that a reality. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. My good brother Bamani Taihemba. He has taken our people to the motherland many times. And of course, he has taken them there. And of course, you can see what he has done on Africa for the Africans when you check out his website. Or you can go to Facebook for photos of what Brother Bomani has done, facebook.com/Bomani. Or you can go to YouTube and see videos of what the brother has done. And that's youtube.com/Bomani2007. That's right, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Or give Brother Bomani a call. Give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Let me just quickly say he has upcoming, because he just got back from Ghana early this month. And so the next trip is April 2nd through the 12th, Senegal and Gambia. And then back to Ghana again, May 24th to June 4th. And then going to Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th. Previously pronounced as Tanzania. But the brother said it's pronounced Tanzania. They do. I mean, I'm going to pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. You know what I'm saying? If that's what they say it is, then that's what it is. You know, the European, I tell you. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, I'm at the break, give you information about all the things that Baba Rinoko is doing, the Zoom conferences he had, the one-on-one with Sister Baina Bello from Haiti. The other one, on which is coming up this weekend, the same thing that's happening with ASCAC. So those two things I'll be talking about at the break, the ASCAC this Friday and Saturday, and Baba Rinoko's thing. Okay. And let me see what else we got. Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Habashah, HabashahIncorporated.org, Habashah, the brothers and sisters are doing the work. Brothers and sisters, go to the website, HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And that's what we need. We need to educate our people. We need education. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. HabashahIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program, LEDGE stands, the LEDGE program stands, excuse me, land for the environmental development of group economics, land for the environmental development for group economics, LEDGE, the LEDGEGroup.com, and of course they deal with the main things that you must deal with if you're talking about survival. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. The basic things of life, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have
12 active projects in 6 different countries and employing over 170 people. And we have over 260 members. TheLedgeGroup.com. Hodada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar in the West End here in Atlanta. And that's located 878 Ralph David Abernathy, right across the street from the Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. The West End here in Atlanta. I'm looking forward to an email from Mama Nia to see if the Medu Bookstore will be opening soon. They have moved on the main thoroughfare there at the Greenbrier Mall. It's a bigger location. So check it out. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot. There's Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar in Lithonia. Give Brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Just like the Medu Bookstore or Shrine of Black Madonna, they got books. Give them a call. Find out if they got the book that you request. Also, too, they have other things, especially like Black Dot. They got T-shirts. They got the red, black, and green shoes. You know, they got a plethora of things. So give Black Dot a call. Us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us lifting us. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/us lifting us. The name of the program is Dare to Win. Thursday night broadcast. You also can call if you just want to listen, or call if you have a question, comment, or concern. The number is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us from 9 p.m. to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Sanjay-Haiti. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, with the young children, with education, the 4 components of education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Go online to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Akaben Institute. Akaben Institute with Baba Baruti and Mama Ya Baruti have been doing an outstanding job. Continue to do so, preparing our young warriors. Please assist them. If you want to do old school like me, you write them out a check. Akaben Institute and mail it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But of course, many people are stepping up with PayPal and Cash App, a little bit easier. On a Cash App tip, it's $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And you can give a consistent donation to help further that cause. Also, too, they have 2 programs on the 6th. That's Saturday, February 6th. From 12 noon to 3, Baba Baruti, his program deals with rites of passage, developing an effective rites of passage program, rites fundamental. That's from 12 noon to 3 p.m. The donation is $20, $10 for training the young men. You see, it's a longer program. And, of course, put in the information, the men's gathering, your name, and your email address so they can send you the streaming link. That's Saturday the 6th, developing effective rites passage program. And Mama Yah's program, also that day, after his, from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., When a Woman Heals. When a Woman Heals, $10 donation and $5 for the teens. Sister Quarterly Circle, your name, email address so they can send it to the link. That's $10 and $5 for teens. Also, too, the Inye Say Sim is available. Volume 2, outstanding. Of course, I'll read that in a minute. And go to akabenhouse.com. go to AkabinHouse.com and you can buy the array of books that Baba Baruti has written. He's prolific. He is prolific. The 13th Annual Youth Health Science Fair, that's going to be Friday, February 5th from 1 to 3. And it is a Zoom call. These young people have really worked hard. And this is the Metro Atlanta American African Independent School System, which they have a good independent school system here, you know. So they're going to be dealing with 5G, artificial intelligence, chips, COVID-19, many councils, cell towers, many ground cell towers, many ground microwave radiation, smart devices, individualization, immunity, and so forth. So you can give more information, there's a call number, 404-344-2777. That's 404-344-2777. And here is the Zoom information. If you got Zoom, you put this in, 807-211-2759. I'll repeat, 807-211-2759. And the passcode is PEARL. P-E-A-R-L. The passcode is PEARL. P-E-A-R-L. That's the passcode for Friday, February 5th from 1 to 3. And that is the science fair, which I've always enjoyed since I've moved here and seeing what great work these young kids have done. The age of surveillance, the cameras are always on. And show you right, the cameras are always on. The Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sasim. January 26. It takes unwavering courage to resist the madness, to demonstrate a true love of our people, and to acknowledge the power of self-determination, the righteousness of our struggle, and the energy of our ancestors. Okosowa Sabrine. Warriors work toward establishing a space, absence of inner disturbance. They seek to operate on plateaus of unaggregated dynamic consciousness where they can be at peace with being at war with the enemies of our people. Consciously devised, politically and intentionally places where true divinity and sanity abide and rule. They solemnly affirm the removal of all that interferes with our way of frontline clarity and interrupts our ability to move as karma. As models of what it means to be African, they fully release these things which are not good for us. As protectors of the whole community, they release themselves from the need to prove themselves to those whose sole purpose in life is to manipulate and distract. As servants of the people, they release themselves from the need to be loved by those who have demonstrated a lack of appreciation for our existence. As a confident organization workers, they release themselves from the expectations of respect, and as such workers, they submit to a guiding sincerity wherein they are no longer internally, externally recycling the frustrations or anger others are driven to feel over the words and behaviors of individuals who bring no good into their lives. They diligently operate to remove the willfully menticidal form, their mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional space. And no matter what else, they focus their thoughts, time, energy only on those who love and respect them. Affirm, I have the courage to resist the madness and be African. Affirm, I have the courage to resist the madness and be African. To be or not to be? That is the question. Let us be African. January 27th, to underscore the protective nature of the paternal spirit, the sleeping arrangement of Africans of the Akan, the sleeping arrangement of the Akan is such that the man, the male, always sleeps in front of the female. The sleeping position must be such that if the woman has to get up, she may have to go over or around her husband. What is meant here is that the man not only protects the woman spiritually, but physically as well. In times of danger, the man is the first to rise up to confront whatever perceived danger or threat that there is. He must have unimpeded access to the door to arrest the threat, and by the same token, be the first to be attacked. Anthony Ibrahim Tancor. If we are to correctly nation build as Africans of Ma'at, we have to completely return to the tradition that has always made sense for us. One that is fair and loving, one that is neither divisive nor abusive to either complement. If we are to correctly nation build as Africans of Ma'at, balance must be returned to our relationships, and this can only occur through us being who we are naturally, who we naturally are. Of course, even before such relationships can come into existence, we have to be positively inspired to find a complement of worth. We should not say that we cannot find each other if we refuse to look. We should not separately talk about the dire need for complementarity if we are unwilling to try until we succeed. Affirm, I protect my sister spiritually and physically, or I will allow my brothers to protect me spiritually and physically. Affirm, I protect my sisters spiritually and physically, or I will allow my brother to protect me spiritually and physically. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. Oh, man, somebody's trying to get a hold of me here. Yes, I tell you. I always play this.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we are being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under US war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
The time is now, at this moment. The time is now, brothers and sisters. We must wake up, and more importantly, we must unify. Remember that this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. The motto, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the bottom line. Unify or die. I got a couple of things I'm going to read today from Your Black World. Haven't read too much from Your Black World in quite a while. And so I got a couple of articles I'm going to read from that to stimulate the conversation. But also, too, online. I see yesterday I got a little upset because Biden wants to continue to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. I don't know if he's going to go
if his program is to put Andrew Jackson on the back of it, which was insulting as hell when it was first proposed during Obama's administration. But number one, I know Sister Arminta Ross is rolling over in her grave with the prospects of being on this cracker's money. This not talking about reparations. It's just, this is symbolism without substance. And with Andrew Jackson, one of the most hardened racists that ever occupied their house. I don't know if you can remember this. Some indigenous brothers came, elders from the nations, some indigenous and natives, Americans, whatever, came to the White House, and Trump was entertaining them, and that's when he made the remark about, what's her name, calling her Pocahontas, trying to be funny, and they just looked at him. But if you can remember that, Elizabeth Warren, trying to make a joke on her, but if you can remember that situation at all, there they were, about five or six of the elders, while he was giving them some kind of plaque. I think it was because of the World War II, the Code Breakers. It might have been. I don't know. But the bottom line, they were there. But when you looked at the screen, over their left shoulder was a picture of Andrew Jackson. What an insult. What an insult. Could that have been by design, or is that coincidence? I don't think anything's a coincidence. It's by design. Even though I'm awarding you and acknowledging you, I want you to know. So $20 bill. And they still wanted to have Jackson. Now, the $20 bill is the most used currency. More so even than dollars, $20 bill. And to have Armentia on the 20, on any of us, to have any of us on their currency. This is theirs, not our. They ain't talking about reparations. It ain't like these $20 bills will go towards American Africans for the hell that we have put them through, for the fact that we have taken their language, their names, their culture, their traditions, their religion. We have stripped them and can continue to deny them. But we're going to give them a $20 bill with our mentor, Ross, a.k.a. Harriet Tubman, on it. That'll make them feel good. I saw this. This is Baba Derek Rogers in Milwaukee. With respect to our initial feelings of pride, please be mindful of the important fact. Optics, symbolism, representation, liberation, and illusion of inclusion can be our people's most dangerous narcotic. The idea, the image, just like Barack. We're enamored with just the thought, with the image of this man occupying, to quote, the White House. He ain't got to do nothing, didn't do nothing. I'm in agreement with activist poetess Angela Walker, who states the ancestor, Armentia Ross, was a liberator. She was direct challenged to a system that got its footing in the world economy by enslaving African people. To make her the face of the capitalist system is an insult beyond words. Making this ancestor a literal face of the capitalist system that enslaved her is a typical misguided performative bullshit this country is lousy with and consistently do. You can keep it. She rolling over in her grave. I'm going to say this, and I'll say this a few other times as I see it. But to me, whatever we can do, get on radio, get in the newspaper, mount a challenge. I know there are some of us who are so proud, especially some sisters are so proud of the fact that she will be on the $20 bill. Once again, dear brothers and sisters, this is symbolism without substance. Now, if they say that we're going to put her on the $20 bill and deal with the issue of reparations first, we're going to deal with the issue of reparations and the money we're going to give you will have her face on it, that you can begin to build institutions or for those who have been impoverished for decades, those who have been impoverished for, and we're going to help them, assist them out of, I mean, you know, I don't agree with reparations to individuals. And you know, even though some of the individuals have been impoverished for a long time, you know. But I believe in building institutions. So if we do receive reparations, do receive something, it is because we can build institutions for ourselves, educational institutions, which I've been harping on for the last year or so, that we must build schools and teach our children at the youngest age, elementary, middle, some high school. Because I believe if you start at that foundation and continue into middle school, because middle school is kind of tough, then it's at the high school level, if you have infused them with knowledge of self and confidence, they can go to any high school and be successful. They can go to any college, trade school, technical school, university, whatever, and be successful because they understand who they are and why they're there. They're not there to be liked. They don't give a damn if the instructor doesn't like them. They're there to get all that that school has to offer them so they can use that information, that knowledge as a tool for our liberation. So let me read this first piece so I can take a little break and then read the other piece later. This is Your Black World. Brother Boyce Watkins, I believe, still has Your Black World. And every now and then they come up with some good stuff. Well, one of the persons is Brother Bashir Muhammad Akinyele, who I've communicated with, who I'm going to have on the program hopefully real soon. And but this article is written by Deshaun Farad, and it's MLK, Trumpism, and White Supremacy. It's a picture of MLK and Elijah Muhammad. Well over 50 years after his assassination, the image of Dr. King is still grossly distorted and misrepresented by those in power, as well as those who claim to be the keepers of his dream, primarily many of us. Dr. Cornel West refers to this as the sanitizing of King. As a result, he has been relegated from that of a radical reformer to a dreamer, a description that often portrays him as a weak, non-threatening pacifist. But if one, however, was closely examined his activism past his iconic I Have a Dream speech, they would see that he was the complete opposite. I think it's also important to mention that the sanitizing of the controversial American African figure has taken place all throughout the past and modern day history. Any controversial figures, all of them. Look at Elhaji Malik El-Shabazz, how he is portrayed. Most individuals are unaware that it was King's activism and organizing that led to him being placed on FBI hit list, J. Edgar Hoover's hit list, referring to him as the most dangerous Negro in America. I think it's important to note that despite the various distortions of his persona, the drum major for peace was in reality a threatening pacifist. as well as a political theorist who was able to give a clear and critical analysis of the dangers of American exceptionalism, militarism, and white supremacy. In fact, those were the three evils, wasn't it? Poverty, race, and war. Those factors, along with his ability to mass organize and mobilize Americans across the nation, made him problematic to the so-called ruling class, the ruling elite. With all of the above being said, I would like to make clear that the purpose of this article is not to do the usual praising of Dr. King that occurs every year on his holiday, but instead to discuss his views on Americans' racism as it pertains specifically to American Africans and how they feel they apply today in the current radical climate or racial climate of Trump's America. I would also like to emphasize that although he was the consummate humanist, the American African community was his first concern. Since taking office 4 years ago, and although he is now out, Trump has definitely helped to proliferate overt European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white racism. In comparing Trump's presidency to that of Obama's, I've said that for quite some time that the latter merely threw out the white racists from hiding, whereas Trump emboldened them with his xenophobic rhetoric to the point that we are now seeing racism nearly at every level that Dr. King saw 5 decades ago. According to the U.S. Census Department 2020 report on terrorism, ethnically and racially motivated terrorism in the United States is on the rise and spreading geographically. This annual report further mentions that Caucasian supremacist groups increasingly target groups such as American Africans, immigrants, religious minorities, and those who are identified as members of the LGBTQ community. This report also emphasizes the ongoing threat that Caucasian supremacists pose to U.S. national security. In 2019, as the racially motivated attacks have increased since 2015. What really gets under my skin is not reports such as these or even the actions of white racism, but instead the appalled reactions of many Americans, African Americans particularly, because people keep saying specifically since this month's siege on the Capitol, this is not who we are as Americans. And asking, what would King say about Trump's America? As Gore Vidal, the author Gore Vidal, put it, we are the United States of amnesia. We learn nothing because we remember nothing and we don't want to. We only remember the things that we can glorify and praise and continue to move on without addressing anything in the past. How can any right-thinking American, and African-American specifically, be at all outraged by what any act of Caucasian racism when this has been a part of America's fabric since its violent founding? Racial hatred, intolerance, and bigotry are exactly who they are as Americans. I ain't putting we up in there. I ain't putting you. Unless you're a Caucasian listener, which I don't think they are, but they might be. I don't care. You know, this is internet radio. Who are we? If there's anyone who definitely shouldn't be surprised by racism and European Caucasian extremism, it's us, American Africans. After everything we've been through since stepping off that first ship, I find that our community often suffers from what Dr. Michael Eric Dyson once described as Afro-amnesia, the tendency for many members of our community to forget our collective experience in dealing with European Caucasian extremism. There are many of us who are naive enough to sincerely believe that because we have a degree, a nice job, we got some money, and we got a Caucasian on our arm. We are Caucasian, be it a sister with a Caucasian or a brother with a Caucasian. That racial hatred towards us in some ancient relic, to the point that we actually become outraged when we hear about a Caucasian person committing an act of racial terrorism towards one of us. Has one who writes extremely about the African experience in America, I find that our community the most is lacking when it comes to historical knowledge. I'll say that again. He said, I find our community is lacking when it comes to historical knowledge. We don't even want to hear about it. But as we can see, who also often suffers from a similar type of historical amnesia, of course, is Caucasian, and they don't want to hear it. They suffer historical amnesia because they don't want to know. There are many, if not most, members of that community who either try to ignore the nation's racist past or attempt to obscure it by telling us stories of George Washington chopping down cherry trees. I cannot tell a lie. The irony of this is that many Caucasians attempt to use King's dream of American, African, and Caucasians together and social integration as justification for their denial. Dr. King very clear that racism, extremism toward African people was ingrained in this country's fabric since day one. He states this plainly in his book, Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community. Ever since the birth of this nation, white America has had a schizophrenic personality on the questions of race. She has been torn between selves, a self in which she proudly professes the great principles of democracy, and a self in which she sadly practices the antithesis of democracy. This tragic duality has produced a strange indecisiveness and ambivalence toward the Negro, causing America to step backwards simultaneously with every step toward the question of racial justice, to be at once attracted to the Negro and repelled by him, to love and to hate him. There has never been a solid, unified, determinate thrust to make justice a reality for the American African. In addressing what many still to this day refer to as Caucasian backlash, King goes further to say, the white backlash is nothing new. It is the surfacing of old prejudice, hostilities, and ambivalences that have always been there. The white backlash of today is rooted in the same problems that has characterized America ever since the black man landed in chains on the shores of this nation. The white backlash is an expression of the same vacillations, the search for a rationalization, the same lack of commitment that have always characterized white America on the question of race. From reading the above excerpts, it is quite clear how Dr. King would react to white supremacy in Donald Trump's America. He would definitely criticize Trump for helping to fan racial flames and hold them accountable for being the leader of the country. By the same time, King wouldn't at all act appalled or shocked. There's one question that Trump's presidency has incited the rise of racial hostility among Caucasian toward African Americans, American Africans, and other non-whites. However, he should not be made to be the poster child for this hostility. If anyone should be blamed, it should be the framers of the U.S. Constitution and the U.S. government, the framers, the founding fathers. For it was they who took part in the massacring of indigenous people of this landmass, as well as the enslavement of millions and millions of Africans to build this nation's current wealth and empire. I think a bigger question that should be asked, when will we Americans stop being in denial about America's past? Dr. King certainly wasn't. He sure wasn't. I'm going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue the conversation. Another piece to read. And of course, you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Our lineup here at Time for an Awakening Media is Monday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And once again, all times are going to give our Eastern times. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., this program, African Perspectives. And then on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with host Jahad Ahmed from 6 to 8. Then from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from In Cobra. Then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., Melanin Live with hosts Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday, 4 p.m. to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturday, the Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. All right, a couple of announcements I want to give here. Baba Rinoka Rashidi, I didn't have it up when I gave those announcements at the beginning of the program. And that is next Saturday, Friday and Saturday, next Friday and Saturday, on Friday from 8 until 9:30, and then on Saturday from 11 to 12:30. And that's Baba Rinoko has a program, Return to the Nile Valley. Return to the Nile Valley. $25 for both sessions. And I'll get the connecting information because I can't see that down there. I'll get that to you. And then another program that he has, and that is going to be a Dr. Rinoko, Great Black Historians. And that's going to be $15 early bird and $20 after. And that's Saturday the 6th, 11 a.m. 11 a.m. on a Zoom conference. And I'll get that information as well. And then he has another program on Friday, February 12th, a conversation with Dr. Baina Bella of Haiti. And that is going to be 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. on a Friday. So those, I'll get you that information on the context and so forth. So three exciting pieces that Baba Rinoko, you know, since he can't travel, hey, this is what he's doing, you know, since he can't travel. Next Friday and Saturday, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, ASCAC, the Southern Regional Conference. And it begins, the ASCAC Southern Region, begins Friday at 5 o'clock, 5:30, a drum call. And I'm going to do libation at 5:35. And Sister Reba Kelsey, she's going to give the welcome. And then a number of brothers and sisters are going to give reflections
on some of our great ancestors. One I mentioned many times, Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Brother Lester Velt Middleton had a number of programs where he had interviewed some of our warrior scholars, Dr. Ben, Dr. Clark, Fred Sertima, Jackson, and so forth, Chancellor Williams. And then they're going to also have a piece on Asa Hilliard, Reflections on Asa Hilliard. Nzinga Radabishi Haru, that's a sister who was in charge of ASCAC when I came into ASCAC. And when she made her transition, I went to Minnesota. She was from St. Paul. Went to Minnesota to her homegoing sister, Nzinga. In fact, when I was in L.A., well, she lived there because she moved here to Atlanta. She moved here to Atlanta, but she was in L.A. So I went to L.A. for what? Why in L.A.? I don't know. It might have been a firefighter's thing, but I went to her home and visited her. Yep. Sister Nzinga, beautiful sister. The other person they're going to highlight and give reflections on is Brother Larry Obadeli Williams, who was right here in Atlanta. Baba Obadeli Williams. And then it'll be an opening address by the president of ASCAC, the chairman of ASCAC, Dr. Mario Beatty of Howard University. And then the next day, Saturday, it begins in the morning at 9 a.m. with a drum call. And once again, I'm doing libation on Saturday at 9. And then Sister Reba Kelsey will give a welcome. And Bobby Donaldson, a most outrageous incendiary publication, David Walker's Appeal in Georgia and South Carolina. I'm really anxious to hear that. Brother gave a beautiful presentation when we went to ASCAC in South Carolina last year. And the Keflin University students, are a panel discussion with the Keflin students, cultural meaning, making student oral history projects at Keflin University. And that's Catherine Adams. She'll be also working with that. And then there's the break. And Sister Margaret Ridge, Women, Magic, and Medicine in Ancient Kemet. Women, Magic, and Medicine in Ancient Kemet. And then Validia Watkins by Mario Beatty's wife. Oh, they don't have her. They have her, but they don't see unseen what she's doing. And then the students from Morehouse. Students from Morehouse. And students' transformation under an African studies curriculum. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely like to hear about that. And Nakia McDonald, African Foodways Inside the Belly of America. Mm. And the last one, Aisha Ralph McDonald, The Black Maternal Health Crises and a Return to Black Midwifery. Yes. And that's it. And then Saturday around 5:36 is the keynote address, and that is Greg Kamathi Carr. I don't know some of you who watched Roland Martin. Greg Kamathi Carr has been a guest on his programs a lot of times, and he has a podcast too with somebody. But yep, my good brother, Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr, the ASCAC Study Group Model, A Way of Communions. And that'll be it. And then Sunday, there's some breakout. But Sunday is pretty much study group panel and closing of the conference and then the business meetings on Sunday. So I will give detailed information on how you can access the ASCAC Southern Region Conference next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so, let me get back to what I was talking about, what I'm going to be talking about. Here we go. American democracy continuously shrugs off American African people. This is our good brother here, Bashir Muhammad Akinyele. Whoever controls the media, the images, controls the culture. They shape it and fashion it. This is for us, for those of us who want to reestablish an African culture within our families, within our communities, and that's about as least we can do because we cannot do it in America. You can say that, but really it doesn't happen here in America. What happens is that we have a subculture. I'm just being real, and that's how I am. You know, I know we have the Olatunji Village in South Carolina. We have some other communities maybe that I may or may not be aware of, you know. But the reality is that European culture dominates. In fact, it is not race. It's cultures. Europeans impose their culture on other pieces of humanity. They imposed their culture when they came here. That's why I'm saying there's no such thing as integration. Integration, no. Integration means that you take what you have and I take what I have and we bring them together. We integrate them to the best of what you have, the best of what I have, to bring something together for the both of us. That's integration. There's never was and never will be integration. What you have is a forced assimilation. What you have is a facade. What you have is some bullshit. And it's detrimental to African people. Whoever controls the media, the images controls the culture. Allen Ginsberg. We as African people need to establish more independent American African media platforms to force the world to respect African people, especially the radical, progressive, socialist, communists. I hate these things that keep moving so they can put advertisements in. I hate it. Because Caucasian supremacy has distorted one of America's democracy's most cherished civil liberties, the freedom of speech. This fundamental principle in Americanism is not enjoyed by African people. We do not have the freedom to shape and mold political opinions we do not have the freedom to shape and mold political opinions about news, especially American African radical views to the American people. Only Caucasian people and non-threatening American African people have the freedom to shape and mold opinions about news in America. For instance, the mainstream press did not seek American African radical opinions about Trump's failed insurrection on January 6th. Trump, the duly elected United States, helped to orchestrate a failed coup d'etat to stop democracy on January 6th. He did. Every 4 years after the national U.S. presidential elections are over in November, the U.S. government passes the electoral votes through the Senate in Congress to certify the winning presidential candidate as the official American president. This is America's democratic process for the executive branch of the U.S. government. The Trump supporters organized an American failed coup to stop this democratic process. This attempt in the millennium is a country that boasts to the world as the bastion of democratic ideas in the world. Fascism manifested its ugly head in the United States. The ideology behind it was European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known to y'all, has white supremacy and xenophobia. Unfortunately, the narratives in the mainstream media were centered on being shocked at the current terms of events. I read that in the other piece before the break. This is America. This is not who we are. No, Mark, it is who you is. And you have always been that. You were that when you developed out of Europe with the mindset of selfishness and greed and murder and hate. Everywhere you have gone, look at your history. As Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at their history and stop being in denial. Stop listening to their damn narratives. Trump, duly elected 45th president of the United States, helped orchestrate a failed coup d'etat to stop democracy on that day. The Trump supporters organized an American failed coup to stop this democratic process. This happened in the millennium to a country that boasts to the world has the bastion of democratic ideas in the world. Fascism manifested its ugly head in the U.S. The ideology behind it was white supremacy and xenophobia. Unfortunately, the narratives in the mainstream media were centered on being shocked by the current turn of events. They presented to the world that this is not America, but the black narrative, particularly the black radical view, differed greatly from mainstream American perspective. Many American Africans, especially the more radical view, argued that racist America is America. Many of us know that American democracy has, let me say this, just as Malcolm said, is hypocrisy. Is hypocrisy. Many of us know that American democracy has been steeped in racist hypocrisy. Many American African perspectives viewed Trump's insurrection in the United States not as a righteous movement to protect American democracy, but has some white American struggle to hold on to white supremacy, systematic racism, anti-democracy, to continue to control the lives of black and brown people. And many American African perspectives know that both Republican and Democratic Party uses racism to dominate the American African community. But our analysis of America's attempted racist coup was not given in any of the mainstreams. Black voices, and especially black voices of resistance, are routinely prevented from being broadcast on airwaves, TV, cable, and in print media in the United States. Unfortunately, our views are relegated down to social media, social podcasts, private radio, pirate radio, blog talk radio, community radio, various underground media sites. Alternative black voices to the typical conservative and liberal views are hardly ever heard from by. Hold on, family. There's a number of y'all on there. Hold on. Let me finish getting through this and then we'll have dialogue. Systematic racism is so pervasive in America that on a daily and consistent basis, white people determine what black media platforms are distributed in the African community in the United States. This is because Western culture does not respect our lives, nor our opinions about issues critical in America and in the world. Most of the American African perspectives and media personalities we see and hear in the mainstream media are packaged to be non-threatening to white hegemony and white people. White hegemony. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. For example, Dr. Mark Lamont Hill, a respected American African political pundit from Temple University. Professor Hill fired from a white-owned CNN for sharing an opinion supporting Palestinian human rights to self-determination. Rihanna Persing, a Philadelphia Tribune writer, reported on November 29, 2018, Mark Lamont Hill, a Philadelphia native and professor of media studies and urban education at Temple University, was fired from his position as a commentator on CNN Thursday for what some perceived as anti-Israeli remarks he made on Wednesday at the United Nations headquarters. On Thursday, he took to Twitter to discuss his comments, saying, My reference to river to the sea was not a call to destroy anything or anyone. It was a call for justice, both in Israel and in the West Bank and Gaza. The speech very clearly and significantly said those things. No amount of debate will change what I actually said or what I actually meant. Anyone who studies the region or the history of Palestinian nationalism knows that river to the sea has been and continues to be a phrase used by many factions, ideologies, and movements and politicians. I generally believe in the arguments and principles that I shared in the speech. I also generally want peace, freedom, and security for everyone. These are not competing ideas or values. I do not support anti-Semitism, killing Jewish people, or any of the other things attributed to my speech. I have spent my life fighting these things. Dr. Hill's American African perspective on world politics threatens white domination. Therefore, he and his opinion were dismissed from the cable news airways. Dr. Melissa Harris Perry, a respected scholar, was hired by MSNBC to give a progressive analysis on race and politics issues in America. But problems surfaced when her bosses at white-owned cable news network over her freedom of speech. She accused MSNBC of controlling her show's content. Dr. Perry was then fired from the cable airwaves for daring to voice black opposition to white domination in the media business in 2016. New York Times reporter John Keblin wrote in the February 26 issue, 2016, in an unusually public flare-up, one of MSNBC's television personalities clashed with the network on Friday in a dispute about airtime and editorial freedom, and said she was refusing to host the show that bears her name this weekend. The host, Melissa Harris Perry, wrote in an email to coworkers this week that her show had effectively been taken away from her and that she felt worthless in the eyes of NBC news executives who were restructuring MSNBC. Here's the reality. Our show was taken without comment or discussion or notice in the midst of an election season, she wrote in the email, which became public on Friday. After 4 years of building an audience, developing a brand, and developing trust with our viewers, we were effectively and utterly silenced. Well, you know, it is theirs. It ain't ours. Doctors Mark Lamont Hill and Melissa Harris Perry, situations are nothing new. From the days of the American enslavement of African people, the U.S. has a long history of working to silence and repress the African voice, especially African voices of resistance. I repeat, resistance. African voices, anybody who just want to articulate some issues and problems. If you are showing resistance, David Walker. In the 20th century, when American African leaders were moving masses of African people for freedom, independence from white domination, J. Edgar Hoover created policies and policing policies that worked to destroy the American African democratic voices of resistance and African self-determination. He created the counterintelligence program, the COINTELPRO. Hoover was a Caucasian supremacist and America's former FBI director from 1935 to 1972. His ass died in office. 1935. Under his leadership, the FBI sent letters of direction to many field agents in America. One of the memorandums said, "The FBI sets goals for COINTELPRO." J. Edgar Hoover. COINTELPRO was aimed at investigating and disrupting and dissented political groups within the United States. COINTELPRO targets frequently include civil rights activists, both those who espouse nonviolence like Dr. King and those that Hoover referred to as black nationalist hate groups like the Black Panthers. This document outlines the program's goal in attempting to limit the effectiveness of such groups. In practice, the FBI used infiltration, legal harassment, disinformation, and sometimes extra legal intimidation and violence against Dr. King, the Panthers, and other American African activist groups in its attempt to discredit and disrupt them. Hoover was successful at disrupting American African radical voices and political groups of the United States. Steps were taken by secret racist U.S. government program that was put in place to completely annihilate our people's voice. Marched toward our power in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. The FBI's COINTELPRO worked at destroying any and all African liberation movements that came up in the American African community to demand civil rights, restore our broken African identity, to rebuild African culture, fight for land, and a flag to represent the African nation. The government attacked, discredited, and neutralized African leaders and black revolutionary movements such as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam. Malcolm X and his organization called for African unity, the Organization for African American Unity, Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement, Huey P. Newton and the original Black Panther Party, Robert Williams and the Revolutionary Action Movement, Kwame Ture, Dr. Malala Karanga, and the Organization of Us and the Republic of New Africa movement. American African community is still in the process of recapturing and recouping from the FBI's war on our people. The racism of J. Edgar Hoover discredited, killed, exiled, criminalized, and imprisoned the lives of many innocent American African civil rights and nationalist leaders. Moving from the past to the present, some of the same dirty tricks are being used to extinguish the American African perspective in corporate America, especially the black radical voice. Black people use and watch cable news. Check this out. Black people use and watch cable TV more than any group in the U.S., but we have very few American African-owned cable programs. Most of the cable systems and cable programs are owned by Caucasians. In the cable world, Caucasian people have a complete monopoly on cable media business, despite its large African base. Comcast has over 20 million subscribers, but American African people make up the majority of its users. Julia Stroh writes in Statistics on January 13, 2021, about this race data. She reports, among those who subscribe to a cable TV service in the U.S., as of 2020, as of 2020, American Africans were the most likely ethnic group to currently subscribe, with 52% saying that they have an active subscription. Meanwhile, just 47% of Caucasians say the same thing. Interesting statistics about cable and race. But since American African people do not own any cable distribution companies and very few own media businesses such as Black Comcast Company or Black MSNBC, we are at the mercy of doing business only with Caucasians. We must capitulate to the demands and interests of Caucasian people. If this does not happen, American African people are quickly removed from the mainstream media and entertainment business. It seems that the safest place for us is for us to establish our own, our own companies. The first wave to push to establish American African-owned cable network came from Robert Johnson. He created the entertainment television, BET, on the 25th of January, 1980. In Washington, D.C. BET enjoyed its long run as a black-owned company until a Caucasian-owned company bought it out from Johnson in 2000 for $3 billion. The name of that company is Viacom. They also own MTV, Music TV, and MTV and VH1. The second wave to challenge white power structure in cable is from the American African music mogul, and she don't like that word, Kathy Hughes. She created TV One on January 19, 2004. Janelle Harris writes in Media Bistro about Hughes' rise to power in black media. Harris says, mogul in his present overused is like the retired boxer of dictionary words. It's used to pack a lot of punch, but now it's gotten kind of flat and nondescript. Kathy Hughes doesn't care much for the term either, especially when it's being used to describe her. I'm not a mogul. I hate that little title because I'm still very much a work in progress, she insisted. Still, its root definition hits the nail on the head in a way to describe a woman who has founded Radio One in 1980, grew it into the largest black-owned radio chains in the country with 53 stations across 16 markets, and oversaw its CEO for 17 years, then launched its sister network, TV One, in partnership with Comcast in 2004. The next wave to demand a black voice in the American African community was Byron Allen. He is a successful businessman and entertainer. He led the challenge to white power structure in the cable world to create a parity for American African cable businesses. He sued Comcast for $20 billion over systematic racism for blocking his many owned stations and media companies from being broadcasted on its system. His case went all the way to the Supreme Court. Some of us may have never heard of Byron Allen, so let me enlighten you very quickly in your consciousness. Allen broke into the entertainment business as a teenager. Allen performed in many comedy clubs in Los Angeles that led him to making his first appearance on The Tonight Show at age 18. Allen was also famous for hosting the 1980s NBC hit Real People. He then went on to create the Entertainment Studios in 1993. That company is now a multi-million dollar empire. It has a film division and nearly two dozen television properties, including The Weather Channel. Allen acquired The Weather Channel in 2018 for $300 million. Unfortunately, he lost his lawsuit against Comcast. However, he was able to push Caucasian-owned cable systems to carry some of his media programs. On June 11, 2020, Los Angeles Times reported on Allen's lawsuit defeat. Staff writer Meg Jane said Los Angeles media mogul Byron Allen has ended his high-profile legal battle over alleged racism by cable juggernaut Comcast Corporation after a five-year campaign that reached the U.S. Supreme Court. Allen has long maintained that Philadelphia-based Comcast refused to offer his TV channels in his cable bundles because he is black. His suit filed in 2015 sought $20 billion. Comcast denied the allegations, but with the settlement announced Thursday, Allen achieved his goal by gaining carriage for three of his cable channels, Comedy TV, Recipe TV, and Justice Central TV. On Comcast's Xfinity cable television package, Comcast also agreed to extend the distribution deal for the Weather Channel. Allen's struggles against Comcast opened the door to Sean Puffy Combs, a wealthy American African hip-hop entertainer in the music business, to start Revolt TV, an American rap music-orientated digital cable television network. It was founded October 21st in 2013. Before Allen immersed himself in his war against Comcast, Oprah Winfrey established her own network called OWN. The OWN. An American African-centered multinational basic cable channel jointly owned by Disney and Harpo Studios. Harpo is her. You know who Discovery Channel is. It launched on January 1st, 2011, replacing the Discovery Health Channel. But OWN is not black-owned anymore. Madeline Berg, a Forbes magazine staff writer, reports on December 22nd, 2020, last year in December, Oprah Winfrey has once again cashed out some of her ownership of OWN Cable Network, this time selling over 20% to the network's majority owner, Discovery, in exchange for 1.3 million shares of Discovery stock worth about $36 million. Winfrey will remain the CEO and chief executive officer of her namesake network. Representatives from OWN and Discover confirmed the deal. Unfortunately, since Johnson, Hughes, Winfrey, Allen, Combs did not have any American African 24 news companies, our views are still at the discretion and supervision of Caucasian people. Although some cable systems are now broadcasting a recently established American African-owned news channel called Black News Network, the struggle continues to build a 24-hour news station to provide the American African perspective under contradictions of white supremacy in American democracy. If we do not establish more American African cable news stations and American African companies, Caucasian people will continue to only tell Eurocentric narratives to America and the world. Our narratives will continue to be drowned out by Caucasian-dominated culture. After 401 years in America, we, as American African people, are still locked in a long march for America and the world to hear and restrict our voices and our opinions. This is not real democracy. It never has been, and it never will be. Hotep. That is my good brother, Bashir Muhammad Akinyele. And of course, he's in Newark, New Jersey. And if you want to join this conversation, anything that I talked about, please do. For those who are on, hit star twice. And for those who want the number, it is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Hit star twice and join the conversation. You know, we can talk about Armenthia Ross being on the $20 bill, which I adamantly, vehemently oppose. Even when they said it initially way back then, a few years ago. You know, but that just came out in the news yesterday, in fact, that Biden is willing to reintroduce that. And we can talk about what we talked about this morning in the first hour of the program with Dr. King. And 646, good afternoon.
Yeah, what's happening, Oshi?
Hey, how you been, Jay? I ain't talked to you in a while. How you been, brother? Been okay?
I'm good, brother. I'm good.
Just been a
little busy, and I lost a good friend of mine.
Oh, sorry.
You know, Oshi, I like to know, why are you so upset about the Parker giving Harriet Tubman a face on their currency to make that Negro happy, man? You know how happy the Negro will be to frame a picture of Harriet Tubman, man? What's wrong with you, bro?
I hate symbolism without substance. I hate the idea, the illusion of it. I hate it. I hate the fact that we have no, our economic situation is so bad. It's ridiculous. The sister, Armenthia Ross, is rolling over in her grave, Jay, with this idea that she's going to be put on the 20. And not only this, when they first proposed it, I don't know if this is the same proposal, but when they first proposed it, they still were going to have Andrew Jackson on the back of the money. So she was going to be on the front of the money. He was going to be on the back of the money with his racist ass. I adamantly, seriously oppose this. You know?
Well, I couldn't agree and disagree more. Give a Negro team what they want, man. Make this Negro team happy, man. You gotta keep him off balance because as you see, Biden ain't doing nothing for him.
Well,
everything that he's doing is basically symbolic nonsense that society was moving towards anyway. So he basically playing mental masturbation games with you. And you don't even realize it. It's just amazing how this cracker acts and how this cracker works, man. He unfortunately, brother, he have us on what I refer to as remote Thomas.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, man. You know, I don't like when Caucasians, when they will not even entertain the thought of reparations, will not entertain the thought of redistribution of wealth, will not entertain the thought of the economic disparity that this country has, and yet they want to put the sister, a staunch warrior, a liberator, an abolitionist, on the $20 bill, and that's the currency that is most used in this country, and put her on the $20 bill, while yet many of our people still languish in poverty. No, man, I'm sorry.
Oh, no,
I'm adamantly against it.
It's a symbolic statement to make Negro happy.
Right.
Do whatever you can to keep this Negro this Negro happy and in a position to make him feel that he's inclusive and the direction and the way things are moving forward with this madness. I mean, to me, it's nothing more than a joke.
Yeah.
It's not more than a joke. And you know, sometimes jokes are put forward to get a laugh, to make you open up your eyes, to go,
Well, you know, there's a lot of our people. I would venture to say the majority of our people, sadly, pathetically, agree with this. You know, they agree with this.
Oh, no question.
You know, especially sisters. Especially sisters are really enamored on the fact that here, you know, And to me, if you understand who Harriet Ross, I mean, Armentia Ross was, Harriet Tubman, you should know that she would be against this, especially when it's symbolism, when there's no equality, particularly no economic equality, not even a chance that it'll ever be.
No, and unfortunately, Brother O, it looks like it's getting worse instead of better. And because of the smoke screens and things that are in place, we don't even realize it.
Yeah.
That's the tragic thing of it all. We don't even understand how we're being manipulated and used and taken advantage of because, you know, we got certain individuals that are in certain places. But, you know, hopefully we may figure it out. And if we don't, we'll just continue to be in the situation to perish.
Well,
and that's what's going to happen.
Well, you know, I think that's why this last article I read, it talked about the need to have radical voices. We need to have that perspective to be broadcast to our people. Because if you allow these Caucasians, you would think that that what happens here in America is where, you know, even though we had Trump, because you know there was a number of our people, very small few, because that's proven by the election, very small few, but there was still a number of our people who supported Trump. And they prayed at those individuals and young Republicans and so forth out into the public to think that this was a happening. No, it wasn't. It was deeply an aberration. It wasn't, I mean, you know, it was truly an exception because the rule of us is four square behind the behind the Democratic Party and that foolishness, you know. And yet we don't want to think outside of those imposed boundaries that Europeans, Caucasians, white folks, crackers have placed upon us and dictated to us. And so that perspective of what you hear on this program and what you might see in other publications on the line is not going to be heard. You got to go to the internet. You won't hear that on regular television cable stations. You won't hear that.
Hey, can I get a word in, my brother?
You sure can, man. How are you, dear brother?
I'm fine, man. You know, I'm calling up because, you know, I gotta say it again, Brother Oshie.
Please, Ralph, go ahead, Ralph.
Listen to the program. I'm gonna say it again. If you don't know me by now,
you'll never know me.
So, you know, the thing about it is like we're looking for something that's not there. Now, those mobs you were talking about, that so-called mob, we used to fight them as children going to school in South Philadelphia each and every day. We had to rumble those so-called mobs. So I've never seen a bunch of chicken SHIT black men in my life talking about all those mobs down there for Trump and they stole Nancy Pelosi's computer. That's what they do.
Yeah.
I had to fight them as children just to get my ass to school. We had grown men walking us to school to go through those mobs, and they don't scare me. I got something for them.
I hear you.
But let me tell you something. They might get me, but I'm going to get them. I'm few of them, too.
I know, that's
and
right.
And that's the attitude that you have to have.
Right.
I'm tired of this bull crap conversation about this. Paul was right. Paul said, if you're not going to do nothing, you might as well just shut up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It gets tiring, man. Now, you did correct yourself, and I'm glad you did. You finally said what I wanted to say because I was on hold for a while. You kept calling this sham a democracy. It's right. Hypocrisy.
That's what
Our
it
brother
is.
Malik Al-Shabazz told us that decades ago.
Right.
It's not a democracy. That word should never come out of our daggone mouths. And I just had to share, you know, I gotta say this, man. You know, when I read this article, now we could talk about this brute beast all we want to because he ain't changing. You know,
That's right. I'm talking
about the mindset of some of our people. I even had to talk to Brother Jay. Like, what the hell y'all got in y'all water? anytime some brothers want to bite up on a sister because she said, like, no, she wasn't interested. And they bit the woman. Grown men.
Literally? Literally?
In Harlem. Yes, sir.
Wow.
So, you know, we got a lot of work to do on our own. You know, I mean, we have so much to do.
Yes,
we
do.
You say unite or die.
Right, unify or die.
I'm saying, where the graves at? Because I don't see it, Brother Oshie, anytime you got grown men fighting on one of our sisters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Matter of fact, they need their asses hung.
Yeah, yeah,
and
I'll
tell you that much right now. They need to be lynched fighting on a sister because she
refused.
You know, yeah. Didn't want her advances. And there's one more thing, man. You know, you heard about this coronavirus vaccine shortage.
Right.
You know, that shouldn't catch us by surprise. This is a country founded on capitalism. Now, all those people that went out there and they got their first shot and they're talking about getting their second shot, that's a price. There's a price on that, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So this vaccine is coming with a price for all those who want it, because I don't want to stick that junk in me. I already ordered the stuff from Dr. Lee and the Pacimune. I already got that.
So, I hear you.
You know, I'm not, you know, I'm a person that never takes the flu shot, and I never get the flu. And I thank the creator for that.
I say.
So I'm just taking my same situation with this so-called vaccine. Because one dude said to me this morning, a union electrician, he says, like, you know, it's not enough research done on this. I said, yes, it is. They're doing it now with all these fools lining up getting it stabbed in their damn arm.
Yeah.
They didn't even get it approved by the FDA. So this is your trial run. And you are the guinea pig, whoever goes out here and brags about they're going to go in here and get this vaccine. Plus, it's coming with a price.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why they said, oh, we have limited amounts. We don't have enough. The people that got the first dose, they can't even get it, man. So, you know, this is a sin and a shame.
Yeah, it is. And so then you had, I think, and I
just get really passionate when I hear certain things, because that so-called mob is nothing but a bunch of punks. We used to fight them.
Yeah.
Going to school every day. And, you know, I mean.
But that mob's purpose.
Our bottles, our baseball bats, and we went to school, and we had to fight our ways home from school. But that's the way I was. I mean, that's.
But see, that mob that everybody saw a couple of weeks ago. That mob, their whole purpose was to try to not let happen the counting of the ballots that had been certified already, which is a symbolic thing. It wasn't even, it's just some pomp and damn circumstance. It wasn't going to mean a damn thing because it was already done.
I disagree with you, Brother Oshie. I believe there was actors involved there to go on ahead and put this thing out there for a reason. You can't underestimate that, man. That whole thing was orchestrated. They had actors there. That whole thing was orchestrated.
Yeah.
And the poor stupid beast that followed those actors. They're not going to see any justice. They're not going to see any treason or felony accounts. They got misdemeanor. The so-called girl is right there in Harrisburg that supposed that stole Nancy Pelosi's computer.
Right. She was released to her mother.
She's home with mom.
Yeah, she was released to her mother. Like, man. Yeah. Well, you know, with that one brother, though, his ass will be in jail.
Oh, yeah. He's going to do 30 years at least.
Yeah, that one. His ass should. Out of stupidity.
And he should. You're absolutely right. So I just had to call up and get my
Right on, Brother Ralph. Appreciate you, my brother.
Hey, look. Hey, and that's what they drinking up there in Harlem, man, because, that ain't cool, man. Brothers getting mad at a sister for, you know, telling them she ain't interested.
Yeah.
So they going to bite her. Bite her face.
Hey, Jay, is that what's happening up there, man? Y'all cats is biting
people. I don't know, man. It must have been a couple of them old project dwellers, man, that needed their breakfast or whatever. But that's crazy. And the funny thing is, I don't live too far from there, so I know the area
And it's just, it's crazy, man. But I see Walters on fire today, man. Who put your nerves, man? You know, I mean, somebody must have got under your skin.
The Roland Martins of the world, those types, they get under my skin, brother. Those types.
Okay, right quick, Ralph and Oshi. Yesterday, he had one of those sick conservative Negroes on, man. That was just embarrassing, man. I mean, you gotta check out the segment on this psychopath, man, talking about there ain't no racism, that it may not be racist if there's no blacks in the law firm and that everything. Oh man, I mean this guy there, he had absolutely lost his ever living black mind. You know what I mean? I mean it was, well, that one was a real wild one, bro.
I believe he's a state legislator here. His name is Jones, and he was a Democrat.
No, I'm not sure in
Georgia.
Him. He's a lawyer. Out in New York.
I didn't see that. I'm talking about similar situation here in Georgia, and he, as a Democrat, has been railing against Democrats and supporting right wing Republicans. Until finally he quit the Democratic Party and joined the Republicans and smearing the Democratic Party, which I can give less than a rat's ass about because I don't care about the Democratic Party either. But the bottom line is that this, in fact, he was at a Trump rally being carried. You know how they do when somebody jumps in the crowd and they pick you up and they carry you throughout the crowd, that kind of thing, surfing throughout the crowd. He was doing that. And I'm saying to myself, this cat, man, I mean, he needs his ass whooped. But anyway, I agree with you, man. We're almost out of time. If anyone who is on, there's a lot of on, you want to hit star twice and get in on the conversation, hit star twice. You got any last-minute comments? If you don't, I appreciate all of you who called in, all of you who are listening. And I can't say
hey,
enough.
Hey, when you going to get Baroody back on?
Oh, I got to, you know, find out from him. What's the best time? Maybe in the spring when there's a break for him, because now he is fortunately in his educational process, Monday through Friday, it's virtual. So he even has students in Ghana. He has students all around the country.
Man,
it is. It really is. So that's when I'll have Baba Baroody on, hopefully sometime around that time. But other than that, man, I appreciate, you know, all the opportunities, and I'm trying to get some more guests, you know.
Hey, you know, I had to ask you this. How is your boy Franklin Scrabby Gabby
he's doing well. I talked to him. I haven't talked to him in about a month, but I did. I talked to him, and we, you know, his book is out, you know.
He got a new book out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, he does.
What is it on?
It's pretty much, if you heard his program, that's what it is. If you've seen him online, right, you know, the Black People Matrix, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, man, he's online, you know, doing his thing, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you gotta get him back on, man. So
I will. Yeah, no.
True perspective.
Yeah, no, I will.
You know, some comedy is good for the mind and the soul. And, you know, please get that brother on.
Well, yeah, I'm going to have him on the program with me. We'll kick it around because, you know, he has some good narratives, man. He really does.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, he does. So, all right, my brother.
Hold up. Have a good day, brother. Talk to you Friday.
All right. Peace. Brothers and sisters, thank you for calling and thank you for listening. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a great and wonderful day. Enjoy the day. Shimhotep, that means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Hodie, our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. Have a great day.